Blog Talk Radio.
Have come to the awareness that what is pivotal for all humans is to have appropriate self-awareness and appropriate self-understanding. One of the things that we learn in the New Testament documents is that God does not attempt to work with the sarx, that is, the mind of the flesh. Now, sarx, as I'm using it currently, has to do with the intrinsic mind that the individual possessed before he or she had come to know the Christ. That mind, that mentality, which was shaped within the cosmic system, that mind, that mentality, that carried the values, the principles, the power differential of the cosmic system, is something that God does not use. And so God does not attempt to reform it or to impose or overlay a system of values or moral principles upon the sarx, that is, the mind of the flesh. It is a mind that is antithetical to divine values. So God tells us, through the Apostle Paul, what the reality of the sarx is, and he does so in very great detail. So before we talk about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, I want to discuss God's viewpoint with regard to the situation. Good morning. Welcome to A Sound Heart. I am Dr. Josiah Rich, and I want to read to you from, first of all, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Quote, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh," or sarx. "For though we walk in the flesh," that is, within the sphere of flesh, "as ministering," these are my words now, "as ministering to those who are in need of Paul's stand of ministry." Let me go on. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh or according to the flesh. For the weapons of the warfare," there's an article before the noun warfare in the Greek, "for the weapons of the warfare are not carnal." That is, the Greek has sarkika, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, and this is the military figure, casting down imaginations. This word in Greek for imagination is thoughts. Casting down thoughts. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, here Paul has summarized for us an understanding of what is involved in having an individual, or so that individuals might grow to understand what God's doing. And there is a very important message in these words and the word pictures that Paul uses, the military word pictures. Now, speaking to believing ones, it is imperative for them to understand, or for us to understand, why military pictures are used. So, hence the language, which I will go into shortly. Now, as Paul discusses, as Paul talks about the situation in 2 Corinthians, he has a background for his discussion, and that occurs in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Paul is no longer Saul, the man he was before his encounter with the risen Jesus, or Jesus, on the road to Damascus. We know that Paul was thrown from his horse, he was knocked down to the ground. And the verb that is used in the Greek New Testament in the book of Acts, where Paul's rising up from the ground, is the word that means resurrection or anastasis. And so Paul was new when he rose up from the ground. He rose up out of that old life. Now, that old mentality had Paul breathing out threats against the ecclesia, that it's a called out one to God, pursuing them, persecuting them. Paul consented to the stoning of Stephen. And so that old life was gone when Paul stood up from the ground. He was blind, and he was blind for a period of time. See, God knew exactly what he needed to do to get Paul where he wanted him to be. And Paul became this one of the most substantive and compelling minds of this new movement of the way. So, in Ephesians chapter 4, we have a mature theology, a mature anthropology from the Apostle Paul. That is his understanding of what God does to work out and on behalf of the individual who has come to the living Christ. See, the salvation event is the beginning of Zoe. It is the beginning of the new life. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that must it's day in the Greek, D-E-I, a word, I love this word, it means that it's necessary in the nature case that one is born anothen, born from above, born of the Spirit of God. I always go back to Genesis chapter 1 when I think about the new birth, and I think about the power of God over the ruin at creation. And we read that Spirit of God brooded over the face of the Lord. And the psalmist talks about how God slew Rahab, or the chaos monster. And God brought order out of chaos. And so it is with our souls. God brings order out of chaos. God brings order out of flesh. God makes all things new. The first thing that God said in Genesis 1 was, light be, light was. And notice the importance of the state of being verb. Light be, light was. Speech and act are one in the divine mind. And Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about the power of God, the light of God, shining into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so that birth represents a new beginning. And the old mind from the cosmos has no place in the kingdom of God. And so, this is what Paul states in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4:22, quote, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the former life the old man, to lay on anthropon. And so to lay on means ancient. The ancient man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so, verse 22, Paul uses the verb put off. It is an aorist at a point in time. Infinitive, and an infinitive is a verbal noun. It is an aorist infinitive middle. Middle voice used as the believer works upon himself in some manner to his benefit. It is to the benefit of the believer to put off the prior behavior, literally. Put off the prior behavior. Put off that is summarized in the old man. With his thoughts, with his attitudes, with his lust, both hidden and obvious, and then we read, which is in the process of corruption. That is, there is a downward spiral. According to the lust of each, and the word there for lust is epithemia. And then he goes on, verse 22, Paul says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The believer, according to Ephesians 6, the believing one, is in spiritual warfare and with invisible spirits. So he is now, or she is now, living on a new plane. And Sark's mind is a match for evil supernaturalism. And so the believer must put on the armor of God. And Paul there in Ephesians 6 talks about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is there to protect the head. It's there to protect the thought life from the fiery missiles of the enemy. Now, the missiles that the enemy shoots at the believer can be, it can be a missile of doubt about one's salvation. It can be a missile of jealousy or an exacerbation of an attitude of bitterness, making bitterness a spiritual malignancy. Or it could be sexual lusts. We say today addiction. And this always carries the idea of a society that there's some excuse available, or it's very strange. But when individuals are robbed of responsibility, it's unlikely they're going to seek effective and appropriate change. And so I'm going to read another passage from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, which he discussed this very thing. And so in verse 24, that you put on, so first verse 22, one must put off, and then verse 24, one must put, and this too is an aorist infinitive metal, that you put on the new man, the kainon anthropon, the brand new man. Anthropon or anthropos or anthropoi, plural in Greek, means male, female. And that you put on the new anthropos, which after God, notice the language, which after God is created, righteousness and truth. Once again, the salvation event is the beginning. And then there is this new work of God in the heart of the angel, in the mind, in the life. In the old man has thoughts or thought life that is not pleasing to God, and that there are emotions that are not healthy, and the individual must learn to relinquish everything that has to do with the laying on anthropon. This is not psychology. This is divine viewpoint thinking about the believing one, because he or she is on a new plane. And so he or she is no longer out of the cosmos as a source. It's very interesting to try to impose techniques or therapeutic techniques upon an individual who has been made new by God, because they cannot. There are believing ones who live according to the cosmic system. And so they are subject to the stoichia, the things of the cosmic system, whereas the growing believer, who begins as a nepios or as a babe in Christ, must grow up, and he or she must desire the milk of the word. Then later on, as the individual begins to grow, he or she needs strong doctrine in order to build up the spiritual life. Now let me move on to Colossians. And so in Colossians 3, Paul writes, verse 5, Colossians 3, 5, quote, mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication. The Greek has porneia, or porneia. So, fornication, and then he uses uncleanness, and or akathosian. The word here literally means filth. Uncleanness literally means filth. And then the next word is very interesting. It inordinate affection. This is one word in Greek. It is word pathos. P-A-T-H-O-S, pathos. And pathos is from the word patho, which means to wound or to hurt. Pathos literally means the disease condition of the soul. Now, maybe you have never thought about the soul being diseased. That is the meaning of this word, pathos, from which we get our word, pathology. And the next word is evil concupiscence. The word there is epithumian, which means the result of pathos. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things saith the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The reason why I wanted to talk about these verses this morning is to put together some understanding of what Paul is talking about in the second commandment. And so there are those in Corinth who challenged Paul's authority, and Paul had to let these individuals know in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And what Paul means by though we walk in the flesh, he means within the sphere of the flesh, within the environment of the flesh. It does not mean that he practices personally the works of the flesh. Please read Galatians chapter 5, in which Paul talks about this very unhealthy results of walking in the flesh. And what this does to the life of a believer. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after flesh. Paul's life has been made radically different. He is radically other than what he was before. An interesting phenomenon today is to observe individuals who think that they can be saved and yet not have a changed life, not have a changed mentality, or that there is somehow they remain within the flesh mind and they have a smattering of values. Which, you know, as believing, and it doesn't work that way. There must be the new mind. So he goes on in verse 4, for the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The new mind represents empowerment for believing them. Empowerment, personal empowerment, allowing God to change the heart so that the individual can be stable with them, so that there could be spiritual balance with them. Now, if you seek to war according to cosmic values, then you're going to be overcome. necessarily no balance, and you're subject to the stoichia, that is, to the things of this cosmos, and you won't win. What is necessary is to understand the power differential at work. You must contemplate this. And the power differential that one speaks to or thinks that he can be engaged in spiritual warfare by walking the flesh is not found in Scripture. The advantage, the power advantage, now that belongs to the believing one is when he or she walks in the power of God or lives according to the power of God, because the weapons of our warfare are not common. So therefore, a new mind is necessary. A new way of thinking is enjoined. Verse 5. Casting down imagination. That word imagination is thought. Casting down is a military figure, which means to lower or to take down. It has nothing to do with apologetics, writing books about apologetics or defense of faith. It has everything to do with one's personal well-being, one's personal life, with understanding that we live in a cosmos. And we need, and we must learn to live strategically. And understand that spiritual warfare does not stop. Understanding that spiritual warfare is relentless. Therefore, we need to be for this type of conflict. Casting down thoughts and every height that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing represents pride or hubris. The hubris that is, we must understand that it exists, and we must understand how to counter it without the power differential being taken away from our advantage. And so therefore we walk in God, and we walk in wisdom. We walk in wisdom. As we grow, hopefully we learn to live with wisdom and in wisdom, and bring into captivity every thought to be a beast of Christ. That's another military figure, which means to have at the point of a spear. My next show will go into more detail about this, but until then, God bless you and have a wonderful day. And thank you for listening to A Sound Heart.